Hey everyone, this is your boy Daily News from the Real Dream Podcast. On behalf of Duke Mailman and I, we want to thank all of you guys for listening to us and supporting us. If you like what you hear, please follow us on our social media pages. We're at The Real Dream Podcast on Facebook. We're at TRDcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if that's not enough for you, look us up on Linktree at linktree.com/TRDcast. Thank you all for the support and enjoy the episode. Welcome to the Real Dream Podcast. I'm your host, Dude. I'm here with my boys, Mailman and Duke. How y'all doing today, fellas?
What up?
You.
Typically, we got a couple topics that are near and dear to us. Today's different, man. We got a special guest here that's going to talk to us today. She's a global financial consultant, economist, author, public speaker, and also the founder and CEO of Brown Girls Do Invest. We want to introduce Bahia. Hey, we want to thank you for joining us on the show. We appreciate you taking the time out of your day to be with us.
So first of all, thank you for having me. I'm excited. It does not matter if I'm talking to a group of men, women, boys, girls, everyone needs this information. Mm-hmm. But with Brown Girls Do Invest, it started out with something in my heart so many moons ago. Just to give you a little background about myself, I've been in the financial industry for a little bit over 20 years. So, of course, on both spectrums as an investor, as well as someone who sold investments. And as an investor, I would sit across the table from individuals who unfortunately did not look like me. They did not understand the fact that I cannot call a family member and ask for a six-figure check to start my investments. And there was such a disconnect between us and other people as well. And then on the other side, as an investor, I always tell this story. I'm sorry, as a former financial advisor, I always tell the story how a colleague of mine, her and I walked into a room. She's from Poland. She's been here now 12 years. She's from Poland. We walked in together and she was so excited. And I remember her saying, well, Bahia, look how many people are in here. Yeah, it was about 200 people. And then she took one step further and said, well, there are about 10 women. I'm like, yeah, that's great. How many people look like me? And she looked in amazement. She said, oh my God, you're the only one. I'm like, welcome to my world. And I wanted to start Brown Girls Do Invest because we need to make sure that we have somebody that has a message that resonates, that does not make you feel bad when you do not walk through the door with a high figure, five figure checks, or even six figure checks or seven figure checks, and understand the fact that you may be the person in your family that everyone's calling, however you want to get yourself together. So in 2014, I started the ball rolling with Brown Girls Do Invest. In 2016, we really took off. We became 501c3. We toured from 2017 to 2019. Every location we toured throughout the United States was sold out. I'm happy to say that. So that lets you know that people want this information. And every time I looked across the room, I saw nothing but beautiful people who really wanted the information to invest. And for us, I always say my nonprofit organization is all about education. So if you go to one of our events, and no shade against anybody else, but you will not see vendors. I'm not about selling. I'm about educating. And I want to make sure that when you walk out the door, you feel confident. And so we post throughout social media, even though we're in COVID, we're not face to face like we normally are, but we do a lot of virtual, and we have a private Facebook group where we have affordable classes as well for you to have unlimited access, and you have availability throughout and it doesn't expire. But for me, it's about living my passion. And I don't just walk the walk or speak it. I do it. When people ask me all the time, what do you do for a living? I tell them I break down numbers to help rebuild for profit. Mm-hmm. Because not only do I have the nonprofit organization, I have a financial firm. I've been an entrepreneur since 2008. And we all know that's kind of hard when you are doing things on your own. But again, just more background about myself, global speaker, TEDx speaker, rub elbows with Warren Buffett.
Nice.
Been featured in Yahoo Finance, CNBC, Business Insider. The list goes on and on. And if I don't, in written seven books, producing a documentary right now, The State of Black Economics in America, the list goes on and on, because I have a passion for this and I want to continue to educate everyone. And it does not matter who you are within our community. Right. And what people ask all the time, why brown girls doing best? For one, I'm a brown girl. Seriously. Right. And I give the example. You know how you hear a lot of advisors that say, oh, if you were on the airplane and it was going down, take the mask and put it on yourself first, then put it on other people. For me, it's hard because I'm a mom and a wife. So I always, you know, give it to my family first and then me. But I use that same concept with brown girls to invest. If I cannot put that mask on our community, how can I help other people? How can I help other people? Other people have resources where it's readily available to them. We do not. We walk through the door, we are already judged. And I feel as though it's my responsibility as a brown woman, black woman, whatever you want to call me, to be here for my community and be here for my family. So that's it in a nutshell.
That is, man, that is beautiful.
Amazing.
That is beautiful. Wow.
Amazing.
I was just listening to your story, and first off, it's phenomenal. And hats off to you. That's awesome. Where we live, we don't see as many brown faces as we would like, so we certainly can identify with that. My question is this, because we've talked a little bit about this on our podcast before, is when you were first starting this out, and even now probably, do you get any sort of pushback when you're trying to educate people on how to be literate financially?
Well, that's a two-part question for me. The answer is yes and no, and it depends on who's pushing back. Okay. So from people within our community, we are truly embraced, because it's not just me. Even though I'm the founder and owner, executive director, I have a group of ladies who are phenomenal, well-educated, well-diverse. So when we walk into a room and we literally educate, there's no pushback from the people within our community. We are truly embraced. However, I have to admit, I've gotten many love letters from other people that say, why? Why are you not including? And I have to explain that we are inclusive to our community, hence diversity and inclusion, you know, even though people really do not exercise it correctly. We are inclusive within our community. I'm sorry that you feel as though you're not included in the conversation, but you have to ask yourself, why do you feel entitled to always be invited to the table when we are creating our own table? And then I take one step further for when people write me these beautiful love letters. And I ask, since you want to say that I'm not including you, or you should be here and you want to be part of the organization, let me ask, how many of you, and these are normally Caucasian women, how many of you actually went and stood on the steps of Capitol Hill and petitioned for Black women to get equal pay as you? Because we all know that there is a disconnect when it comes to the income. There's still a wealth gap when it comes to income as well. And when we already getting paid 63 cents on a dollar for compared to white men, you as white women are getting paid more than us. So if you truly feel as though you want to be included, let me see you take some steps to actually petition for us to even get paid as much as you. And when I state that, I no longer get the beautiful love. and my thing is, I'm all about the people, but at the same time, I have to make sure, I believe that my purpose on this earth is to be a servant to the community. So yeah, to answer your question, yes and no. No, I don't get pushback from people within our community, but from others, some others, not all, I'm not going to generalize, I do get the pushback. Why can I not be included? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a brown girl, so I don't know what to tell you. Not only that, you know what, this is the thing. I always talk about how one of the African proverbs that I live by is, and no shade against men, because I've been married 27 years, so don't take this heart when I say this.
No, you're fine.
We take skin, we can handle it.
Okay, good, good. When you teach a man, you teach one person. When you teach a woman, you teach an entire nation. Because what we do is we as women are one of the largest educators. So whatever we learn, and speaking for myself as well as the community of women that I'm around, when I learn something, my husband learns something. My son learns something. Everybody within my village learned something. When I announced to my husband that I was going back to school to get my doctorate, I'm almost done. Of course he pulled his hair out and was like, are you kidding me? But at the same time, he knew whatever I do in my life is going to elevate the Shabazz family as well. So we have to think about what we're doing on a community level. And I'm sorry if everybody is not included within the community. That's all I have to say.
I don't know if you answered this or not already, but I was wondering, where did you go to school at? And then how many years of schooling have you had in order to get this off the ground and do what it is that you're doing?
Oh, that's a fabulous question. No, no one has asked me that. Well, I'll tell you this. I started out at Jackson State, but that was back at the... Mm-hmm. I did not finish because I was not focused. That was back in the late 80s, early 90s, you know, where everybody had beepers. I know. I drink plenty of water. You know, I don't eat meat. I'm unbothered. Nice. But back then, I really couldn't focus as much. So I came back up to Northwest Indiana. I'm originally from Northwest Indiana. And so I finished here at Indiana University, Northwest, and I received my two bachelor's, psychology and African studies. And at that time, I wanted to be a neuropsychologist. And I'm going to tell you, this is a true story. I will never forget. And I went to graduate school for neuropsychology. Boring as heck. Had to let it go. But before I got there, this is a true story. This is another reason why I say we have to make sure that we band together as a community. I had, at that time, the chair of my department, psychology department, and I needed a letter of reference. And she told me no. She said, let me tell you why. Now, she didn't know I was married at the time. Didn't have any children, of course, but I was married at the time. She said, statistically, Black women, and this is before Black women actually took over as far as education is concerned. Yeah. She said, statistically, Black women end up on the system, unmarried, with multiple kids. So I am not writing you a letter of recommendation because you're not going to get accepted anyway. When I tell you that crushed my feelings and motivated me at the same time. So can you imagine if she was bold enough to say this, how many people think this and actually not articulate it, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. So yeah, I received my undergrad in psychology and African studies. Then after starting on my doctorate in neuropsychology, I was like, oh no, this is boring. So I went back and got my master's, my MBA, and worked in the financial realm. And I was actually for several years, one of the VPs of JPMorgan Chase in investments and retail financial services. I became licensed to sell investments, insurance and whatnot. But more importantly, I continue to educate myself, self-education. I still, if I were to scan right now, you would see a whole wall full of books. I love, love, love reading. And I think that I will continue to read until I transition into the next world. Mm-hmm. So got my master's from University of Phoenix, to be honest, and took classes here and there, received a certification at Global Financial Crisis from Yale University. And then I went on and started my doctoral as a doctoral candidate that I'm currently in right now at Walden University. So I'll have that specializing in finance. Again, it's helped me. And you never know how the universe is going to, you know, pivot you in the world. Because, again, for me, I thought I was going to be a neuropsychologist. Mm-hmm. But I'm not, you know, I'm an investment strategist. That's just what I say. If you want to put a title on anything, I don't do titles because I'm like, I will have a whole list of titles. So for me, I didn't think that the psychology and the African studies would play into what I'm doing right now. Think about it. I also teach econ. So bear with me. Now, my students love me. Mm-hmm. Pat on the back. Now, I try to make it fun. You know, it's something because they some research me, some do not. And for those who do not, they walk through the door and because they think they're going to have this Caucasian individual older. And then they see me, petite Black woman, big hair, big earring, big personality. And they're like, you're not the stereotypical economics teacher. No, I'm not. Right, right. So exactly. You know, you need a little sprinkle here. Yeah, yeah, you know. So think about this. Now I'm heavily, now don't get me wrong, my company, Decimalytics, is global, right? Brown Girls Do Invest nationwide. When anybody can come to the events, we're not going to close the door on you and say you can't come in because you're not brown skin, but you know, it is what it is. So, but think about this. I have two bachelors, one in psychology, one in African studies, right? So right. Economics, investing is all about the psyche, right? Because people have to build themselves up. They have to research. They have to investigate. First questions I get, I don't know how to invest in the stock market. What do I do? Okay, let's break it down. What is it that you want? What are your desires? What appeals to you? When you start, you know, posing thought-provoking questions to people, then it stops them and make them think. Because the first thing I tell them is finance is not a one-size-fit-all. What works for me may not work for you, right? Mm-hmm. African studies, know your people. You mm-hmm. can't tell your people where they're going if they don't even know who they are or where they've been. And I also feel as though it's my responsibility to tell everybody I interact with how dope they are. Why? Mm-hmm. Because you came from royalty. Yeah. Seriously, you have so much to offer. Society tells you right now that you're very limited. You do not have anything to offer. You're not worth anything. But let me tell you this: if we were to blink and take away everything that we invented, this world would have nothing.
Yeah.
The first universities were in Africa. Come mm-hmm. on, people.
Mm-hmm.
When I tell you, and I don't care when people say, oh, you just sound so bold. Yes, I am boastful. Yes, I am confident because I know who I am. And I don't care if you don't like my hair, my skin color, the way I speak. I am who I am. And I'm very passionate. And if I see somebody who looks like me coming along and they're, you know, they don't know what to do, I take them and I hold their hand with it. Right. Yeah. So I truly believe that my educational path has really allowed me to be who I am and where I am right now. So it's very important. But for those who do not have, and as I say, higher education, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to make sure that you continue to self-educate yourself. But not only that, practice. How many people have you set in front of? I don't care if it's an investment advisor, if it's a teacher, if it's someone who's telling you what to do, but they never walk the walk. So they're not giving you practical skills. They're just giving you the book version, right? Mm-hmm. They're turning to chapter 6 on page 259 when it may not be applicable to you. And that's another, again, Brown Girls Do Invest. I can wholeheartedly tell you what to do because I can associate with you as opposed to sitting in front of you and frowning up saying, you don't have anyone to call to even ask for a few dollars to open an investment account? No! Everyone does not have that in our community. We have you guys, the men, right? Men, protect, provide, guide, right? I saw this meme on social media and they were like, oh, women still making men plated, able-bodied men plated 2021. I normally don't comment, but I'm like, yes, because my able-bodied man is working, bringing me his whole paycheck, providing for me, guiding me. I don't have to worry about anything. Literally nothing, really. So, but again, it's called building up and working as a team. So yeah, you educate yourself, you keep going and don't forget where you came from and take lessons. Yeah. My thing is how I'm successful right now is because I don't look at failures. I look at everything as a lesson. So I didn't look as a failure that I pulled out of the school for neuropsychology. I was like, okay, it's a lesson. What is it that you need me to learn? What is it that I need to do? Because had I been stubborn and stayed, I would have missed all this opportunity and to speak to you guys right now on your podcast.
Yeah, yeah. We appreciate it.
No problem.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Hey, everyone. As a parent, we all want to set our kids up for success any way we can, and that includes teaching them the value of earning, saving, and investing money, even at an early age. So when Duke introduced Mailman and I to the Greenlight card, it became something we were very intrigued in. The Greenlight Card is a prepaid debit card designed to teach your kids about the fundamentals of personal finance. Using this app and card, kids can earn money through chores, set saving goals, spend wisely, and even invest. As a parent, you can set flexible goals and receive real-time alerts while your child is monitoring their own balance, setting goals for themselves, and learning how to manage their money. The app gives you complete control over your child's money by allowing you to set spending limits at specific stores. Plus, it has unique features like a savings account that earns parent-paid interest and an investing platform where your kids can invest in real time with your permission. Duke's been using this for a while. And
Green light!
Yeah, and Mailman and I are just signing up as well for our children because setting them up for success is important. And we want to invite all our listeners to do the same. So if you have children and this is interesting to you and this speaks to you, please go to our Facebook page, our Twitter page, and our Linktree page and find a green light link and sign up. We're excited. We're excited to share this journey with you guys. And we also want to hear how it works out for you. So let us know.
And we're back to the Real Dream Podcast, back here with our friend today, Bahia Shabazz. Ask you a couple more questions, Bahia. So we talked about it in one of our episodes a little bit, that I actually have relatives that lived through the Tulsa City burnings back in the 1920s. Yeah. And so growing up, I had a grandmother that for her entire life never trust banks. She was one of those, I'm going to take my money and put them in the mattress. Mm-hmm. And taught all her kids to do the same. Don't trust banks. Don't trust financial institutions. Now we're in 2021, and us three as fathers coincidentally all have three daughters that are 10, 11 years old, just getting into the education or getting into their education. And one of the things I like to say is that as brown and black and colored people, we don't have the history of those dinner table conversations where you're as a kid and your parents are talking about investing and mm-hmm. and real estate and things like this. We have conversations about being there for your family, raising your kids, being a father and a role model, but we don't have the financial history in our livelihood. And now we as fathers are like, okay, let's make sure we instill this in our daughters. Yes. But we also have to instill it in ourselves as well. So even at a young age, at the ages that they are now, what would be something that you would recommend for us to help break that cycle and to start the next generation off on a better foot than we had?
So my question to you is, how do you want that to look? What is your end result? So that's what I'm going to explain, and I'm going to answer your question. And you don't have to answer this question right now. I just want to put it out there for you to write it down and think about, how do you want the conversation to look, right? I, too, had grandparents who were part of the Depression. And I will never forget when my grandfather, right before he passed, he did just balled up his fist. And because I will always ask him for money. And of course, he told me about him growing up, being a sharecropper, taking care of a family of six with 50 cents a day. And I'm like, 50 cents?
No shit.
50 cents. For real? You can't afford to pay attention to 50 cents.
Chips now with 50 cents. But again, that right there taught that era how to save. Unfortunately, it also taught them how not to trust too.
Yes.
So that you have to think about this, how you sharing this with me is how nearly every family, black family, has this story. And it's part of our DNA, right? How we live is woven in our decisions. So how would I address that? I'm going to tell you what we did in our family. Because again, I have my husband of 27 years. And my son, our son, he's 20 years old. And I would never forget, it was long time ago. My husband, we had different spending habits. To this day, it's slightly still different. It's not as different. I'm the super saver. He calls me cheap. I say frugal. He's like the ball and out of control. Seriously, we like yin and yay. Seriously, ball out of control. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? And since our son literally emulates everything he does, he's like our son. Seriously, he's our son's superhero because he's like everything he does, even to this day, 20 years old. Does dad do this? Am I like dad? And I'm like, dude, be your own man. But at the same time, it helped with our conversation, because years ago, we never had that conversation as to how we were going to raise our son to be financially responsible. I did my thing. He did. My husband did his thing. Although our accounts were married on paper, meaning that we had three accounts. Both our names were on the accounts, right? We had the household accounts. We had his account, my account. Although our names on everything, just in case something happens, Lord forbid, we taken away tomorrow. I don't have time to go to probate to try to fight for my own money. So our money was on, our names are on our accounts, right? And he definitely wanted to make sure that I knew that he didn't want me to handpick his money, because initially I did. He was like, who lives off of $20 a week? I'm a man. I'm like, okay. I'm like, but you got gas, you got food in the house, everything. And I'm like, you're spending all this money. You don't need to walk around with $1,000 in your pocket. Who are you trying to impress? I need to know I got money in my pocket in case something happens. So I said, okay, let's do this. Now, our son, who's watching you, and you, he hears you say, your mom is so cheap. And I'm like, you're balling out of control. Do you realize that you are actually teaching him to be homeless? And he was like, what do you mean? I'm teaching him to be homeless. You're not teaching him to actually maximize his money. It's when you get it, you're holding on to it until you see something you like, meaning it is not going to be anything productive. It's going to be some gym shoes or outfit or whatever. Mm-hmm. Back then, he would get his hair cut every Tuesday or Wednesday. I'm like, dude, your hair has not grown from Tuesday and Saturday haircut. I'm like, twice a week? Yeah. He's like, I need that lining right here. I need that lining. You don't know. I'm like, okay. So to answer your question, the first thing we did was ask ourselves, what do we want the end result of this conversation to be for our child? Mm-hmm. Because we were not raised. Now, our parents, of course, took from our grandparents. They didn't have the conversation, and meaning that my parents and my husband's parents did not have that financial conversation with him either. So we were like kind of, you know, stuck. Like, what are we actually going to say? I don't want to say anything over his head. I want it to be relatable, and I want him to feel confident that he could actually do this. So after guilt tripping my husband because he didn't want our son to turn up homeless. And I know I was kind of extreme with that, but I'm like, think about it. If he's just spending, no plan, no savings, no investments, no assets, what is he going to do? So what we started doing when our son, 12, 13 years ago, we start having weekly financial conversations in our household. So, and we included our son so that if we went to the store and I actually said, no, I'm not getting that right now. I don't have to say because I said so. And it's because he already knew. It was just not in the budget. It wasn't because we couldn't afford it. It was not planned. So every Thursday night, if not Friday morning, we knew every Friday something was going to hit our account, right? So Thursday night or Friday morning, I had this cute little Excel spreadsheet. I literally would create incomes coming in the house, itemize the expenses, and I put for everything, his haircuts, date nights, future date nights, hanging out with friends, everything. Mm-hmm. And I had a line for our son, and I had a line for just because I knew something just because was going to come up. Not a family emergency, but maybe, you know, we just wanted to do something. So including our son in those conversations so that he could actually see, it's like his senses, he see it, he feel it. And it's not the, oh, my parents say I can't have it just because they said so. No, it's in the budget. So maybe I can get it. Or if I didn't talk about it, we didn't include it in the budget. And sit, and then from then, we started having him invest in the stock market. So we live a very, because of me, not my balling out of control husband at the time. I would say, okay, before we go to the store, this is what we buy. We don't need all this and then the other. It wasn't until a few years ago we drank the Apple Kool-Aid, so we finally got iPhones. But before then, years ago, son did not have a phone. he did not receive a phone until a couple of years ago. We didn't spin out of control like that. So in order for him to start investing, what I did was I had him go to school and I had him literally look at everybody and write down what he saw, right? And what the conversations consist of. So it was an activity for him, and it made it so fun for him because it was an activity. So he came back home and he had Nike, he had Apple, he had PlayStation. And I'm like, okay, there were, the list goes on and on, the things he had. So I said, okay, now let's start talking about when you receive your income. And I educated him, and you have to catch the kids real young, because right now, adults, we don't have this mindset of let me truly budget and let me only spend what I can afford. It's basically paycheck to paycheck, or what, how can I stretch my money? But if we catch, like, your daughter at that age, when she first started getting money, even an allowance, we had him put aside 50% of whatever he earned, right? Mm-hmm. So if he had $200, because he DJed too back in the day, so every $200 was every event, he would earn $200. I will automatically take 100 and give him 100. He will put 20, he will get put 50 in his pocket and just leave the other 50 in his checking account. So with the 50, the $100 that I took, I split that up as well. Put $25 in, $50 in savings, $50 towards investing. But before we did that, I had him again write down everything. So then we started looking up what does this mean to invest in? That's when he saw PlayStation really wasn't PlayStation. It was owned by Sony. And back then it was like $20 a share. I look at his account the other day. He has Under Armour because he was into sports. I said, you wear Under Armour, have ownership. Yeah. Own it. Mm-hmm. Own it. When you see people and it's walking around with these gadgets, you can cha-ching. And that's what he started doing. Seriously, he was like, I remember one day he was almost late for the bus. And I said, what are you doing? Another iPhone came out. He was like, Mom, the line is wrapped around a door in Chicago. I'm about to get some profit. And I'm like,
I love that.
Keeping the conversation. So first thing, what is the outcome that you want? Right. Two, keep the conversation very simple. Three, make it applicable, right? Make it applicable and make it fun. Have your daughter start talking about what does money mean to her, right? What does it mean? Any of our children, even ourselves, what does it mean? It's just a tool to get where we want to be in life. That's all money is. It's a tool. You just have to learn how to manage that tool. You have to be prudent about it. I don't care if you have $1, $100, or $100,000. You still have to be prudent about where your money is going and take your time. Don't feel as though you have to jump on a bandwagon. There was something I was going to post today about that, because people feel as though when they hear everybody, all these experts and other people talking about some where they put their money, how much they spent, and this, that, and the other, they feel compelled, like they have to keep up. No, you do not. You do what's best for you and your family. Eventually, you would get there. We all run our own pace in life. But keep the conversation with her very simple. Ask her, what does money mean to her? What does she want to do? How does she plan to get there? And then you set up little steps, feasible steps to do that. I recently published a coloring book, ABCs to Invest, for ages 3 through 8. And it's very simple. It has stock market keywords, assets, and then stuff for them to color, bull, bear, cash flow, just the introductory. So introduce her to some things and make her think about, that will allow her to think about money and what it means to her.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing, you gave me some PTSD with that, because I said so. I grew up with that a lot.
But do you see the culture? This is what I'm talking about. When I tell people, when they ask me why brown girls do invest, men are right too, but it's the culture thing. It's not, and I heard Denzel Washington say one time when he was talking about directing a movie, he said, it's not about the color, it's about the culture. Because if you have a movie, you have a scene that somebody getting their hair pressed, you as an individual know how to smell that burnt hair smell, like the girl jumping because her mama burning her ear. Somebody else outside the culture doesn't know that. So when I said, because I said so, you know that your mama has said that to you before. Oh, it's the culture. It's the culture.
Definitely. Do you guys have any, or do you personally have any events coming up or anything like that? And where can we get the coloring book that you were just talking about as well?
The coloring book, ABCs to Invest, is on Amazon. Okay. It is on Amazon, 37 pages for $7.95. It started out with inspirational sayings like, I am wealthy, I am confident, I am a millionaire. These are things that we have to say to our babies, including ourselves, because we see these images and hear these conversations that do not always uplift us. So we need to start believing within ourselves. And then it goes into the vocabulary. So Amazon.com, you can type in ABCs to invest and then type in my name, Bahia Shabazz, and it will come up. But ABCs to invest should actually come up as well. As far as the events are concerned, of course, because of COVID, we held out this year. So, but we are going to kick off the tour once again in 2022. And hopefully we'll be in a city near you guys. Would love to invite you. Put you on the side and you can do your Comcast. I mean, your podcast.
Right? Oh, my God. That would be
awesome. We love that. We love that.
From a male's point of view.
That'd be awesome.
You know what? For you guys, please connect with us via social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We have our private Facebook group, Brown Girls Do Invest Wealth Building, where we make sure that we truly educate you. We break things down for you. Next month, the week of October 4th through 11th, believe it or not, it's like a goal challenge type. I always look up the holidays for the months, and that's like a whole holiday for a week. So I'm rolling out educational challenges. Every day is going to be something different, from how to create your budget, how to research stocks, how to research brokerage accounts and compare, because I get that all the time. Which brokerage platform should I invest in? It depends on what you want. If you do not, if you want to invest in Amazon and you don't have $3,000 for a share or something, and if you, so you only have a few dollars, okay, which brokerage platform offers fractional shares, right? Mm-hmm. So then you can just put a little bit of money. I personally love ETFs as well, and I always educate on that. So, you know, how to open your account. So the list goes on and on. That's going to be October 4th through 11th. That's going to be online. Anyone can join that, and it's complimentary. And then to be a part of, and then that's when the membership opens back up again. So you get all these plethora of courses, you get speaker engagements, you get training when you sign up for Brown Girls Do Invest membership for $29 a month.
Well, that's
not bad. Now, if you can't afford $29 a month,
you probably shouldn't be investing. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and people ask me all the time, you are accomplished. Why are you just like selling it for less than nothing? Because I'm not here to make the money off of that. I have other streams of income. I truly want to educate everyone. So when you feel confident, I'm confident. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's leadership. If you can accept where I am, I've done my job. I don't have to base my accomplishments off of, if he or she is passing me, I know my worth. Mm-hmm. I know I'm the most. I just want to bring everybody else with me.
Yeah. Nice. That's awesome.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. I have one question I want to ask you. What is your view on cryptocurrency?
It's very volatile, but if you can handle that volatility, do you, boo? seriously, I invest in cryptocurrency. I actually have just a slight bit of Bitcoin. What is the other one I have? Of course, I have Dogecoin. But I am a buy hold type of individual, right? I'm starting to educate myself on options, short-term trading. So I'm more of a long-term. Short-term, of course, would be your options, your Forex, something you buy and trade throughout the day. So I'm getting into that as another form of income. However, even though I am an aggressive investor, at my age, I should be more conservative, but I'm still aggressive. but at the same time, so I understand the volatility. Except with cryptocurrency itself, that sucker is real volatile. I like to explain, it really is, because it reminds me of a small cap, right? And this is how I break down, because people ask all the time, cryptocurrency, small cap, mid cap, large cap. I like to compare it to your friends. And we all have these group of friends. So listen to this. You got three guys right here, right? And then I'm Queen B for Bahia. I'm walking in with the three of you. So one of you, I got to have a talk before we go in. I said, listen, somebody step on your little alligator shoes. Please don't pop it off, right? You can't take that free anywhere, because they like pop, 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 pop all over the place, right? Volatility. You like, stay close, stay close. That's the small cap, right? Then you have your mid-cap friend. you know, you the midcap friend, you know, one of the three midcap friend. It's somebody I can talk to, easy breezy. However, if I tell you somebody just was inappropriate to me as I was walking past the bar, you about to pop it off as well. Because you're like, wait a minute, I'm cool, but don't touch on you. Don't grab on you. Then you have the large cap, right? And there's so many other things to this, but I'm just giving you like my quick definition. Then you have the large cap. The large cap is your friend, the old cool dude at the bar, just sitting there sipping on his cognac or his Hennessy. You know, he's just like, I'm cool. Nothing's bothering me. I'm established. So, and you got your cryptocurrency, who is even wilder than the small cap. So you already know those are the two friends you can't keep together if you can't stand and fight everywhere you go, because they are always all over the place. So yeah. To answer your question, I do not mind cryptocurrency. I think that people, once they educate themselves, as opposed to just listening to what everybody's saying to put your money into, first you have to see if it's for you. I'm not for everything. And that's real life. My husband tell me all the time, you're not everybody and everybody's not you. And I know everybody cannot take my palette, but you have to see what is best for you. So if you're looking into cryptocurrency, see how it works and see which cryptocurrency is best for you. When I initially started out, I started out with one of the, I can't remember now, but it was like $2 and some change. I said, okay, I can buy like 20 shares of this. If I lose it, I lose it. So I started out very small, just to familiarize myself and to see how it worked. And it's okay to do that, as opposed to feeling as though you have to jump on the Bitcoin bandwagon. Yes, a lot of people talk about that, but look into cryptocurrency overall and look to see how you can make that money. Again, I'm a buy and hold. You have to see what your tolerance is. I always tell people, before you start investing, take a tolerance test, and a tolerance test is going to tell you if you are conservative, if you are moderately aggressive, you aggressive. Again, I'm aggressive individual, but at the same time, I still don't want all my money gone. So I choose. That's why I'm a very good friend of ETFs, because I don't have to individually choose all the stocks that I want to. And again, when I say I'm an unbothered person, not only in real life, but when I invest. So when I put things out there for people to research, I try to do that Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on Facebook at 12 noon Central Standard Time. I do that on Stocks to Watch. And every now and again on Fridays or Saturdays on Instagram, I have a list as well. And it's just for you to watch. It's just for, and that's something part of the course as well. Our courses in Brown Girls Doing Best. So I teach you how to research, what you need to look at. It's more than just how much money did they earn? You know, the performance. Was it selling at $25 last week and now is at $50? Oh my goodness. I have you look at the key leadership, right? Because that makes a difference. If your leadership is not innovative, they don't want to move forward, that company is not going to want to move forward. You may want a company that's going to keep up with technology and they don't want to. Okay, put them on a back burner. I don't want them. You're looking not just at key leadership. For some, you're looking at Moody's to see where they ranked, if they're A++, or if they down at the C-, nah, you're not good enough for me. Okay. Then for me, again, since I am a finance individual, I always pull out those income and balance statements, and I need to see some growth with them revenues. And that's what I look at. I look at price to earnings. I look at the inception. I look at the volume. The higher the volume throughout the day, I said, oh, people are really trading this. Let me go ahead and look at this as well. So there's so many things to look at and to listen to other than people just saying, invest in this because I said so.
Yeah.
See? Right. Okay. Because yeah, I said right. so. Do your research. It is not a one size fit all. I, as Brown Girls Do Invest, give out the recommendations suggestions for you to research. And it's up to you to do it. And again, it makes a difference, you know, whenever you invest. You made me think about something when I was talking about Brown Girls Do Invest. Again, the courses that we have is not just Brown Girls Do Invest membership. If you go to Finn Hub Center, that's FinHubCenter.com, Finn Hub Center. We have a plethora of classes where you can take. We have bundles and everything. And again, when you sign up for any of our classes, you get them for the duration. They never close out. You can repeat. Something for you to share with your daughter as well. As in any of your children and with yourself also, that's, it's really cool to sit down and see you have your children see you, you know, practice what you preach and learn with them and pose those questions and make it like some thought provoking moments.
I know when you was talking about the cat friends, small, little, large cat friend. Like,
wow, that's all three of us.
Yeah, that's our 10-year relationship.
Not gonna lie, I was just sitting there like,
let me tell you my perception. You can tell me if I'm right or wrong. Red shirt here is my small cat friend.
Yep. 100%.
My friend here that said he had PTSD, that's my large cat.
Yep.
And the other dude, that's my mid cap. You know, but he doesn't play when it comes to his boys. That's looking at you. I'm like, okay, I got my small, my mid, and my large cap.
You're right.
That's right. Yeah. Bahia, man, we want to thank you for joining us and thank you for all the knowledge. We hope to have you on again and get some more information from you in the future. We're just a small podcast, but we learned a lot today. We have a lot to talk about.
Brother. I got to stop you right there.
Yeah.
You only as small as you want to be. Don't limit yourself.
Okay.
Do not limit
yourself. I like that.
I'm serious.
What do you think?
I'm serious. When I talk to my small business owners, and because again, outside of Des Militias, I have outside of Brown Girls Doing Best, which is my nonprofit, I have the financial firm, Des Militias, and we cater to small business owners. And they think, well, I don't need a finance team. Yes, you do. I don't care. It's just because you are a small business does not mean you have to have a small business mentality. Everybody started out where you are right now. They didn't just wake up and, oh, here I am. So don't say I'm just or I'm only. Dude, you dope as heck. If you weren't, I wouldn't be here. I'm just here to tell you. Just run with that.
Yeah.
Just run with that.
Yep. You know? I like that. Yep.
Just say, you know, we build in our audience. That's all. We build in our audience.
We're just getting started.
Listen to my podcast.
Say that again.
Have you listened to any of our podcasts, any of our episodes?
I did. I did listen to a glimpse of it. And I was like, okay, they're not bad. I didn't get a chance to listen to one of them. And that's why I was like, okay, when I had my sister send me a link. And if I'm not mistaken, it was on Spotify.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're on Spotify.
And let me tell you this. Spotify name alone. When I told my son, I said, oh, I have a podcast I'm going to be on. I said, I don't know if it's recorded or how is it? And he said, okay, but is it on Spotify? I said, yes. I said, yes. And he was like, Mom. I said, dude, I've been on Spotify many times. And he was like, what? I don't tell you everything. I said, you just look at me like, oh, that's just my mom. That's your mom.
Yep.
So with that being said, don't play yourself short. See, think about it. You on Spotify, anybody can find you.
Yeah.
Sponsor you. You can be whatever you're like that niche that people would want right now. You know what I'm saying? Three guys, you're talking about everything that's inclusive to fatherhood, to men. I know I'm not a man, but I'm a proud, supportive wife. And I'm always there for my husband. So I was like, I have to do this. I have to, because we need to see more of women who are standing behind our men and being supportive. As long as you are productive, you know what I'm saying? So give yourself a round of applause. You're on Spotify. Everybody's not doing that. Think about it. You have so many people that have these thoughts of what they want to do, but they never execute. And that's the difference between somebody that's sane and somebody who's actually been a leader. Because anybody can say whatever. It's that leader that execute. And that's what the three of you actually did. So don't say only. Don't say small. We are an up-and-coming podcast on Spotify.
I like
on
it.
Spotify.
All right.
And let it go.
We appreciate that. We appreciate that. We appreciate you. We appreciate
you're awesome.
We'll definitely have to have you back on the episode. I would love to. Yeah. So anyway, thank you so much. And you have a good one. We're going to probably talk about this after this for a little bit. So
no, definitely.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. We got a lot
hopefully
to talk
I
about.
Gave you some things to think about, gentlemen. I hope
a lot of things. Absolutely. To digest. I'm still going over that coloring book, that ABCs to invest.
ABCs to invest. Yes. 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 And I thought it was really cool because when I was younger, one of the pastimes I had with my mom, my dad didn't color so much with me because I boxed and I still box. Mm-hmm. And I boxed his. Yeah, I tell people all the time, don't let the heels fool you. I grew up boxing and, as a welterweight, right? And even now, my coach just called me. He was like, I have an exhibition. Could you come out? You know, you're one of the dopest females I have. I said, I don't have time. I'm doing something that weekend. So I box and I love sports. I was a running back for 2 years in high school. So, nice. Y'all, yeah, that's why I tell people all the time, don't put me in a box. I don't think anybody should be in a box. So that's why I'm like, be proud of your accomplishments. So I say that to say this. One of the reasons why I thought about the coloring book is because people ask me all the time, what do you have for the younger generation? And I thought about when I was younger, and I still have some of the coloring books when I had with my mom, and we signed our names and we put the date and the year. And it's so nice to go back and see things from the 70s and the 80s that I did with my mom. So that's something that you can do with your children. And what I like about this coloring book, it has a glossary. So even if you see KPI, if you see cash flow, you're like, I really don't know what they're talking about. The definition is right there in the back. And then you can just elaborate on it. You can elaborate on it. Well, it's something nice for the two of you to do together and have that bond with your children. You see what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. That's what me and my daughter do. I know you probably noticed the stones on my neck. Me and my daughter sit and we wrap stones and things like that and make jewelry right now. So
you see my beads. You see my beads. You say, oh, I like it. See that? It's an amethyst.
Yes, it is.
People say, oh, I like your beads. I said, for one, they're stones and they mean something.
Exactly. Don't touch them. That's me. Like, that's what I do. We'll be sitting doing our podcast and I'll be wrapping stones or my crystals. Like, and me and my daughter do it together as well. And like, this will be something else that we can do together when we spend our time and bond. See? So I'm loving it.
And your children would never forget those activities along with the conversation. So right there, why they are like in that euphoric moment, right? And I'm sorry if I'm going over. They're in their euphoric moment and they're like, oh my God, I'm spending time with my dad. Then you hit them with conversations, which will be seeds that's planted. Everything that I'm doing right now, I would never forget that my dad and my mom did. And one of the things my dad taught, and we still to this day, every year we do a garden. He was like, you have to self-sustain, right? From chores to gardening to whatever you decide to do in life. Again, one of the reasons why he had me box, not only because I was the first child and the only girl at that time, but just because you're a girl does not mean you have to be in ballet. If this is what you want to do, you do it, right? And that support. And having that dialogue. So I love the fact that you're doing your crystals with your daughter and having her understand the meaning behind each crystal and the intent behind it and how to keep it clean and recharge it and have them identify who you are. Same
all
thing
that. When it comes all to that.
Hello. you see what I'm saying? Yes. So do everything with intent. Everything with intent, and that's having these financial conversations. Don't feel like you late at the game because everything happens at its moment for a reason. So don't look at it and compare yourself to your friends and say, oh my God, they've been investing for 20 years. Okay. If they're so proud of it, just have them share some things with you. But don't feel as though I'm late to the game. I do not know what I'm doing. Somebody help me out. Do not feel bad about it. Take your time. Take your time. Take your time.
Man, we appreciate it. You, I think I speak for every one of us that you might be one of the dopest people we've talked to in a long time.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm loving it.
I accept that. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Now I have three new friends.
Yes,
you do. Thank you.
We appreciate you, and thank you for everything.
Yes,
likewise.
Thank you so much.
I wish all of you sincerely much success. Please let's stay in touch, because as you grow, I would love to be part of that journey, so you can look at me as a resource for you. So do not feel as though I'm not accessible. I can be.
We
appreciate you. Thank you so much
for
taking your time out of your day to do this interview with us. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Have a good one.
You too.
All right, you too.
We were talking about it the other day. Well, you were talking about the other day, Mailman, about how there's like certain people in your life that just come in and you're just like, they are just destined and meant to be in your life at a specific time and a specific moment that just resonates you.
She, you can tell she is so smart, and the depth, the well of knowledge that she has is like ridiculous, man. I freaking loved it.
Mm-hmm. Of a welterweight boxer that played running back for 2 years,
right?
An investor, and on top of that, a crystal enthusiast. You could not combine all three of us into a better person.
All right, but like I'm love the fact that she said she was a boxer, because now I feel so much better knowing that I'm teaching my daughter martial arts. You know what I'm saying? And that, you know what I'm saying, seeing what it could be in the future.
Yeah, it's a lot to digest. Says Mailman, what kind of spoke out to you about this? And Duke, same to you.
Like, I honestly, you know what I'm saying, can't wait to it gets on Spotify where you can, like, you know what I'm saying, I can play it back and, like, pause it and rewind it and go back to it so I can write that shit down and take some notes, you know what I'm saying, and go back to this place, you know what I'm saying, to go do some research on it. Then I'll be able to come back to it again and be like, okay, I can do this, let me do that. Because, like, man, she put so much out there, such a small, you know what I'm saying, length of time that I was like, damn, I'm glad we recording this shit.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Duke?
I'm just thankful for the knowledge, period. I feel smarter already than what she said. I was like, damn. So the thing that hit me the most was when she was talking about the, because I said so. Because, you know, we all grew up like that. I know we all grew up like that, you know. And when she hit it with the, we have the financial meetings and we put our 8-year-old, because she said her son was 20 and she was doing this 12, 13 years ago. So they put their 7-8-year-old in the conversation so that when you say to that person, to your child, you know, when they ask for something, you like, it's not in the budget. They understand. Instead of, because I remember, you know what I'm saying, my parents saying that, I'm like, why the fuck it ain't in the budget? Or you know, I don't understand that at 7-8 years old. I'm taking that to heart, and you like, you don't love me right now. You know? So, you know what I'm saying? So when she hit it with that, I was like, damn, okay. And then, you know, of course, I went back. I was like, damn, I know I done said that shit to my kids. So, you know, that's definitely something that probably this weekend is going to start with my children.
Same here.
And that, along with the coloring book, too, because Peanut's right in that age group, that 3-8 age group. So I'm going to start that with him at 4.
I'm pretty sure we all get a couple copies of that.
About to make me a little mini blacker fella.
And shit, right?
And what we'll do is we'll actually post the link in our on our page to the book, so that way you guys can, our listeners can participate with this too and get a hold of it. I love the idea of, she said, have conversations with intent. Like most of the time, we don't think about that. Like, oh, daddy, why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? It's the intent of it. And even when she was just talking about our podcast, it's like, no, you intend to become a great podcast. So don't limit yourself
by saying be small.
Be small.
You just talk. I love that aspect too.
Yeah, that was dope. Yeah, that was real dope too.
I just love it.
Which, by the way, as we speak, I just clicked on their Facebook, the Brown Girls Do Invest too, because I want to hear the when she was talking about going live and talking about different things, and she already has some stuff. Well, she's doing it right now. She's doing it now. Like, she's got some information on some stocks to watch and everything on there that she posted about 4 hours ago.
So yeah, we'll definitely have to, you know, link up and keep an eye on them, and we'll have her back on the show. And that was awesome. That was beautiful. I enjoyed it. I hope our listeners enjoyed it. And if you didn't, we enjoyed it. So hopefully, I don't really care.
There couldn't have been any better first person for us to interview.
No,
that was the perfect first person to interview. Now everybody else, if they don't match up to that, they ain't good enough to be on this podcast.
It's just like she said, though. You know what I'm saying? If you a C-list movie, you know what I'm saying? Hey, you ain't good enough for me. I want
exactly.
To have a conversation with someone for what hour, and you are going to her for knowledge, and then afterwards, I'm like, right now, I'm like, I feel like the shit. Like, it's beautiful, man.
Empowerment she was talking about.
Bahia Shabazz. Look her up on Facebook, Twitter, Brown Girls Do Invest. It's a beautiful cause, a beautiful program, and we're excited and to have her back on the show here in the future. On that note, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Hey, everyone. We're excited to announce our partnership with Greenlight. Greenlight card. Yeah.
Hold on. I wrote a commercial. You want to hear it? Here you go. Greenlight. Because I use it, and they're paying me for it. Right. Cha-ching. Bam. There you go.
And that's the commercial. All right. Back to the show. And we're back to the Real Dream Podcast.
On the next episode of Ratchet News. Let's get ratchet.
All right.
Let's get it.
In Florida.
I knew it was coming.
The news of today.
I ain't even got to say nothing. Y'all go ahead and do the rest of the segment.
We should just call it This Week in Florida.
Might as well. Article reads, mother 30 is charged with child abuse after helping her 12-year-old son and his friend beat up another child while brandishing a taser.
Yeah. Damn. How old was the kid?
Her son was 12.
The kid that got beat up?
We don't know yet. Oh. Let's go ahead and read into this. And four of the mothers have been charged with battery and child abuse after allegedly helping her son and one of his friends beat up another child on Wednesday. Ashley Ruffin, 30, was accused of grabbing a child by his hair and arm during a fight at a sports complex in Indian Trails Middle School near Orlando. Witnesses say that she held the child back so her son and his friend could beat him. And at one point, brandished the taser, according to Flagler County Sheriff's Office. A school resource officer spoke with the boys involved in the fight, and the victim said Ruffin got involved after the fight between two groups of kids. She claims she was trying to break up the fight and would never hurt a child, posting a picture of her arrest on TikTok. Let's stop right there. I don't know if y'all want to go ahead and look at this video.
I want to see the video.
I don't know the TikTok video. It got
Y'all already know I ain't gonna watch it. I ain't got no goddamn TikTok.
Yeah. Good point.
But why the hell is they fighting in Mickey Mouse backyard, by the way?
I don't know. Ain't that the happiest place in the world? Or
supposed to be. That must mean her son was getting his ass whooped for her to jump in there. He must be getting his ass whooped.
That's what I was thinking too, right? I was thinking that too.
It was three of the motherfuckers, because didn't it say that his friend was helping too? So the boy's friend and the mama. So he was royally getting his ass whooped. That's exactly what it was.
I don't know what to say about this though, because I'm a parent as well. And you know what I'm saying? If I saw my child getting jumped, I'm fucking coming over there and I'm fucking everything up. I don't care if they fucking 12, 13. I don't give a damn how old. I just went to jail for that shit because y'all ain't finna whoop my baby's ass. I'm fucking everybody up. I don't give a shit. I'm sorry.
You gotta protect your babies. I get it.
Hey, I will fuck a kid up fucking with my baby. I don't give a fuck.
No, I walked my daughter into school the other day. She goes to middle school and I walked by a grown ass man, 6'2", muscles and biceps, just walking out the school. I was like, oh, he must be dropping off his kid. And then my daughter came over to school and she was like, that's Jacob. He the funniest one in the class. I'm sorry.
In the class? What?
You not teaching this shit? Shit. I'm 5'8". And when you have to look up to a motherfucker half your age, a third of your age,
right?
I give up. I would fight him too. I get it. Here's the problem. Here's my problem with this whole story. Our viewers need to look this story up. The mugshot does not seem like a woman that's trying to defend her kid. It's all attitude.
It's a mugshot, though, man.
But ain't nobody happy to be in jail.
Yeah. But like, that mugshot.
I'm not saying you gotta be happy. There's some mugshots that say, look, I'm pissed off that I'm here. Her face says, I did that shit and I'll do it again. Like, it just looked like
It don't look good on her, man. That's what messed me up. We look like she's sucking her teeth, and she just like,
yeah. She probably was thinking, yeah, I'd do this shit again. Yeah, that shit. If fucking you, with my baby.
If you a woman and you ever say some shit about your husband or to your friends that he always be doing wrong, and then you be like, but I love him though, and y'all got that one friend in the corner like that. Mm-hmm. That's her face. That's her face. That's the mugshot. Listen, man, I ain't gonna say you need to be beating up kids, but you protect your babies, girl. You go ahead. But your son right now gonna go all throughout his entire life like, my mama got my back. So,
right. I just want to know it wasn't worth it.
To have that memory of my fist connecting with a 10-year-old.
It sounds so bad though when you say it out loud.
It does. It does, don't it?
It sounds so bad.
And what you doing with a taser? You in a middle school parking lot with a taser? Come on.
Hey, for with middle schoolers, man. Like, for real. Hold on, what age is that? What age is middle school now?
That's like 12 to 14.
But that's 7th grade. 7th grade.
11th to 14. All right, man. Listen, we want to thank Bahia Shabazz for joining us today. Knowledge that we will not soon forget, man. It's been...
Yes.
It was a joy having her on. And we hope to have her on in the future and maybe do some more things with her. But yeah, it was...
more than that coloring book today.
Yeah. It was special, man. It was really special. And I'm just so excited that we got the chance to speak with her. To my fellas, Mailman and Duke, listen, fellas, I love you guys. I wish you nothing but success and happiness.
Love you too.
Three line.
Yeah.
Told you, I'm just gonna randomly just start saying that shit. Green line.
So yeah, man, we're excited for the partnership. So listen. I wish y'all nothing but success and happiness. And to all our listeners out there, y'all keep dreaming. Take care.